Ephesians chapter 2. 696, if you're using one of the black pew Bibles around the congregation, we have around for our visitors, 696 in one of the black pew Bibles, 696. Ephesians chapter 2, just a couple of verses here. Verse 1, the Bible says, "And you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And then down to verse number 12, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." Ephesians chapter number 2 in your Bibles. You know, there are emergency alert systems just about everywhere nowadays. We have emergency alert systems on the dashboards of our cars. We have them as we drive down our highways. We have panels that flash alerts up. They exist in airplane cockpits. They're on our mobile devices. There are emergency alert systems everywhere. And emergency alert systems are provided to be a great value to us. They're not something that we shy away from or we don't want. We appreciate emergency alert systems. They warn us of potential impending danger. They give us a heads up of what could be so that we can prepare for that impending danger. I want to challenge you this morning, and here's the bluff, the bottom line up front. We need to be alert to the horrors of leprosy. You say leprosy. It's been a while since I knew of anyone that had leprosy. I went to the doctor this last week. My wife was proud of me. I had a physical for the first time in 8 years, and I got a good, clean bill of health. But they gave me a list of vaccinations they want me to get. But leprosy was not one of them. What is this leprosy? Be alert to the horrors of leprosy. And I want to encourage you this morning to do just that. Leprosy was the scourge of the ancient world. The smell of decaying flesh, the horrible visual appearance of a leper coming down the street, deformed, toes or feet missing, fingers or hands missing, a disfigured face, rotting flesh, his stench was smelled before you could see him with your eyes. And that raspy voice that by law he was required to yell out when anyone was within a certain distance. You'd hear that raspy voice. Unclean! Unclean! Leprosy was a horrible scourge upon the ancient world. You know, the horror of leprosy is used in the Bible to visually and vividly illustrate the condition of the human predicament. Really, when you go to the Bible and read what the Bible says about leprosy, you see through the eyes of God your own life, the human predicament of sin. John Barnett wrote, "Leprosy is a vivid and graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin. Sin is ugly, loathsome, incurable, and contaminating. It separates men from God and makes them outcasts from God." Now, there was a reason why God used leprosy to illustrate and to address in a way that the human mind could grasp the gravity of the situation. There was a reason why God used the scourge of leprosy to rivet into the mind of man the real condition of the human person. And it's because it's so loathsome. It was so horrid to the people of the ancient world. It's interesting, though, that way back in history, it was believed that leprosy itself ate the human body. That's why lepers lost their toes, they lost their fingers, they lost their hands, they lost their ears, they lost their nose. They would be without a nose, and they would have parts of their face, their chin would be gone, eaten away by the loathsome, decaying flesh as a result of leprosy. And it was believed that it was leprosy itself that was doing all of that. And then the medical profession progressed to the point that it was understood that it was not leprosy that was doing that. Leprosy merely attacked the nervous system so that the person couldn't feel pain. They couldn't tell if their fingers were resting on a table or not because they had no feeling, no sense of touch. If they were injured, they didn't feel any pain because what leprosy did, or more modern times known as Hansen's disease, what it did was it attacked the nervous system and it killed the nerve endings. And so when you would be injured, you wouldn't know you were injured. So you wouldn't deal with it, and it would become infected, and the infection would eat the body. It wasn't the leprosy. It was the injuries. People would rub their fingers off because they had no sense of feeling, of touch, and so they would rub harder and harder and harder. They would scratch and scratch and scratch. They couldn't feel themselves, and they would gouge furrows in their face and their head. And it wasn't the leprosy. It was the leprosy merely took out the emergency alert system of the body. It left a person with the inability to feel. And when they lost the ability to feel, the emergency alert system was gone that God had created to alert them to danger that they could do to themselves or allow to be done to them. Without the use of a healthy nervous system, lepers destroyed themselves and didn't care for themselves. And the diseases and the infections and the things that they would suffer as a result of not feeling a sense of touch and pain destroy their body. What's the problem? The problem is that God's emergency alert system that He created in the human body was compromised. Emergency alert systems are great things. They warn you of a potential impending danger. They enable you to act and react in such a way so as to preserve your own life, to protect yourself. And pain is that emergency alert system that God creates in the human body. And the leper loses that. And God picks up on that amazing, vivid picture to speak of the danger in the spiritual life of becoming numb to God's emergency alert system. Not being aware and feeling the reality of what is around us. You know, the Bible's concept of sin and the holiness of God is being denied by many today in our culture. We live at a time in American culture when people don't view sin as sin anymore. And if they do view it as sin, it doesn't have the bite that it used to have. It's like having leprosy and being numb to the alert system. A sense in which I don't understand the horror of sin leaves me compromised, like a leper's. Lack of pain and sense of danger leaves him compromised. You see, the intensity of sin's awfulness is directly related to the brilliance of Calvary's accomplishment. If sin isn't all that bad, then what Calvary provides me is not all that great. If I'm not blown away by the horror of my depravity, what do I need Jesus for? There is a correlation between the intensity of my sense of the awfulness of sin and my excitement of the brilliance of what Jesus Christ brought to my life. We're in a dire situation in our culture today because sin doesn't exist anymore. It's been over 20 years since John MacArthur wrote the book, The Vanishing Conscience. When I looked at the date that he published it, I was shocked. It had been so long. 1994. John MacArthur wrote the book, The Vanishing Conscience, back in 1994 because he was aware in the culture around him here in America that we'd lost our conscience. We no longer felt the horror of sin in our souls. So burdened was he with a culture-wide change in which sin isn't ugly anymore. Sin isn't embarrassing anymore. Sin isn't black anymore. Sin is not a big deal anymore. That he wrote the book, The Vanishing Conscience, drawing the line in a no-fault, guilt-free world. The publishers wrote three questions on the little flyleaf of the book to kind of capsulize the message that the book would contain. They wrote these three questions. Have we lost our ability to recognize sin? Have we become a people who shift blame, deny guilt, and excuse moral failure? Is it just not a big deal anymore? Do we feel the concepts of sin, guilt, and conscience are outdated? Over 20 years ago, those questions were posed. And a preacher searching the scriptures wrote a doctrinal treatise on the doctrine of sin that he preached through and that he published because he was burdened that his culture had lost a sense of the awfulness of sin. See the leper coming down the road? You can smell him before you see him. The stench of his decaying flesh. When he comes into view, you can see the deformity of his body. The missing parts. His nose is gone. His chin is only half there. And as soon as he sees you with a raspy, broken voice, he cries out, "Unclean! Unclean!" So God gave a vivid picture to the culture of the biblical era of what sin is in a person's life. We've lost that. It has a couple of really damaging results. It causes unsaved people to not know they need a Savior. They're not all that bad. They're not embarrassed by their sin. Not embarrassed by the depravity and wickedness of their life, because our culture has normalized all of that. And so the unsaved aren't drawn to Christ because why go to Christ? What's wrong with me? I'm okay. And another ramification is those that are saved lack the deep sense of appreciation for what Christ did for them. He cleansed me from that horrid leprosy in my soul. And if my sin's not that bad, then Jesus didn't do all that much. And so there's some horrible ramifications of the culture-wide loss of a sense of the horror of the leprosy of the soul of every human being. Well, I've been thinking about that for the last several months, a few months anyway. It's been bothering me. I find myself meditating on it and thinking about it. So I decided that on this Sunday, the second Sunday of the new year, I was going to preach a message on the seriousness of sin. And it'll probably end up being about a four or five message little mini-series on some Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. I want to introduce it to you in the next couple of moments. And then I got a media clip I want you to see that so capsulizes the essence of what's on my heart and what I want to convey. I want to introduce just this topic to you just for the next few moments. You see on your little worksheet, there are three thoughts that are listed there. The first thought is God designed emergency alert system. You probably guessed that. God designed an alert system to protect you. Just like every alert system is designed by a manufacturer to protect people from an impending potential danger. So God designed an emergency alert system. It kind of has two different divisions to it, if you please. First of all, there's our physical body, and the God designed emergency alert system is pain. It's pain. Pain's a good thing. When your body hurts, God's designed your body to tell you something. Your hand might be on a fire, on a hot plate. You need to get it off. Pain is designed to alert us to an impending danger. God created our bodies with a nervous system, with nerve endings all over our body, so that our nervous system could provide for us an alert system, an emergency alert system, to alert us to the danger that if we don't change, if we don't do something about our environment or what's happening to us right now, it's going to bring something tragic into our lives. It's God's emergency alert system designed by God. When a leper lost that, when he became numb to that, it began a downhill process in his life that destroyed him and left him a disgusting leper, a horribly grotesque sight, deformities, the smell. God's alert system had been compromised. There's a second level to God-designed emergency alert system, and that's in the soul. The Bible talks about the conscience. The conscience is to the soul what pain is to the body. God designed us so that we have written within our hearts a code of right and wrong. That code is trainable. And that's where a lot of the problem lies, because we have trained a couple of generations that things that are horribly ugly are not considered ugly. Things that are horribly grotesque are no longer considered grotesque. And so the conscience, based upon how it was educated, will speak to our soul and alert us to an impending danger that could be just around the corner. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, after 11 chapters talking about how to get saved, Romans chapter 12 says, now that you've gotten saved, you need to renew your mind. The conscience has to be retrained by the Word of God, so that what God says is ugly, I now believe to be ugly. And what God says is beautiful, I now believe to be beautiful. The conscience, the mind, has to be retrained by the Word of God once we're saved to have God's mind and God's view of things. God provided us that conscience. He built that conscience into us as an emergency alert system that would speak to us when we sin, when we do something or when we're contemplating doing something, we know God says it's sinful. Our conscience alerts us. Danger! 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 And the emergency alert system that God created within us alerts us to a potential danger in front of us. The conscience. Look at the second thought there on your little worksheet. The second thought. Number one. And this has to do with system failure. You know, it's bad when an emergency alert system fails. When something happens and the system fails. And it gives bad information. It flashes when it's not supposed to. Or worse yet, it doesn't flash when it is supposed to. And all of a sudden, the emergency alert system is having a system failure. And then the people that are depending on that system to alert them, they're not alerted. This is horrible. This happens in the spiritual life as well. Ephesians 1 and the verses I read a moment ago, verses 1 to 3 and verse 12, describe us in a massive failure that leaves us, in the words of Scripture, that leaves us spiritually dead, living according to our desires, aliens from God, strangers to God's promise, without hope and without God. All of those concepts were in those verses I read, verses 1 to 3 in verse number 12. What is God saying? God is saying, this is a massive failure of your emergency alert system. You are living in a life of sinfulness. And don't even realize it. Don't even realize it. You don't even know how God views you. You don't even sense the danger that you're facing. You're numb. What causes system failure? You see a one and a two. Number one, denying the warning. There are two things that will cause the system to fail. It flashes, but I ignore it. My conscience says something to me, but I ignore it. Denying the warning that God gives me. Knowing that I'm going down a path I shouldn't be going. But hey, everybody else is doing it. It's normal. I'm just like everyone else. And so I deny the warning and I just go on with life, ignoring the flash of the light. And then number two, the second cause of system failure is when I got those mixed up. Denying the warning when I deny that the warning is accurate. When I say there's nothing wrong with doing such and so. When I say there's nothing sinful about doing such and so. I mean, get off my back. You guys, you're a throwback to the Victorian age. I mean, you actually believe that such and such is really bad? Where'd you come from? Are you Rip Van Winkle? Are you just waking up to reality of life in 2018? Where you been the last 15 years? And I deny the warning. I say the warning's wrong. There's nothing wrong with XYZ. There's nothing wrong with doing XYZ. Everyone else is doing it. There's nothing wrong with it. You guys are just really misinformed about the reality of life in America in 2018. I deny the warning. Or second, I ignore the warning. I feel the twinge of conscience. I remember what my mom and dad taught me when I was a child. I remember what my grandparents used to believe. I feel, you know, that I should probably not be doing this. And then I ignore the warning. I go ahead and march forward anyway. And the system that God designed to alert me to danger fails. Our emergency alert system is killing us. It's killing our families. It's killing our kids. It's killing our culture. The trivial view that sin is a toy to be played with instead of a horrid stench of leprosy in our souls. We need to understand sin. We need to understand the ramifications of sin, the horror of sin. But in each of those testimonies, once the horrid nature of sin was dealt with, Ephesians 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." And then after verse 12, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." It's only when sin is dealt with in all of its horrible wickedness and consequences that the beauty of the cross shines in all of its brilliance. And Jesus Christ becomes the amazing God who He is, because He saves us from ourselves and all of our sin. I'm so glad that He does. I'm so glad that He did in my life. And I'm so glad to know that if you have never come to the end of yourself and hit rock bottom and dealt with the perversion of your wickedness at the feet of Jesus Christ, He's waiting for you.